Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mark Grace, and you're listening to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete.
Everybody, welcome to Ready to Unload, New York Sports Talk Internet Radio Show with Cal and Sandpete. Now with more Cal. We're coming to you live. It is Wednesday, November the 16th, 2011. And this is episode number 1135, entitled, We Aren't Talking About Reyes. But guess what? We probably will talk about Reyes. The show is being produced tonight by Pop Culture PJ, live from his home in Freehold, New Jersey, in Dumplingtown Studios 1. And, of course, my co-host is Brian Calneva, Caliente Calpino Calvi. He is live from Comac. I am live from Bayside. We are ready to unload. Everybody, welcome to the show. Just wanted to have that big scream in there. The guy screaming unload. Because the show's called Ready to Unload, you see. You see how that works? See what we did there? Hey, what's going on, everybody? We got a really big show tonight. It's not even really a show. It's just a conversation. Just a couple of buddies just talking it out. Just two guys who love sports and just going to talk it out a little bit, you know, hug it out. Let's get the party started. So much to talk about, Brian. You're breathing very heavily into your microphone. You do realize that, right? Wow. Are you fuming mad? Is this a new personality you're going to bring in tonight?
Fuming. I might debut somebody new tonight.
Let's welcome in my co-host, my partner in crime, my partner in the sublime world of sports, Mr. Brian Calneva Calpino Caliente Calvi. Hi, Bri. Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
What's up, Steve?
Nothing, dude. How's your week? What's going on? What goes on as we approach the holidays?
Boy, can you believe that a week from tomorrow is Thanksgiving? It's crazy.
I can. I believe it's the giving.
You believe it? I don't believe it. It's crazy.
We had a ton to discuss with each other tonight in terms of Penn State and this debacle, this scandal, this disgusting situation there. But and then we know it's well-covered ground, but we want to talk about it a little bit, talk it out. And then we want to talk about baseball, thinking about scrapping, going to divisions. I have an announcement to make, huge breaking news in terms of the Metropolitans.
Mm.
And Cal, you think I'm...
That's correct.
Let's tease it. Let's go to the RTU newsroom and tease it a little bit. And we're joined now by correspondent man on the street, balding man on the street. The shine on his forehead here in the studio. Let's go to our man on the street, Paul. Paul Cassiopoulos.
It's a beautiful night tonight. How can I help you?
Paul, we want to tease the big announcement.
Well, that's good. I have no idea what this announcement is, but I'm sure it's going to be huge. Folks have been talking about it all night.
Stay tuned. if you don't hear this, your cat may die. Tune in at 11 when Paul Cassiopo tells you all about it.
And later tonight, sugar. Is it too sweet?
Your kids' lunches. What was the one you said that one night, Cal?
About the school lunches?
School lunches. The teasers on the local network news. First of all, can I just tell you the greatest local news of all time, Cal, was when I lived in Los Angeles, right?
Uh-huh.
When we lived in L.A. for 4 years. I think, PJ, I think I've told you this too, but I lived in L.A. for about 4.5 years, and it was my buddy and I had a place, my buddy Terry, and it was a nightly thing, Cal, to tune into the news to watch the nightly car chase every night, literally every night on the 6 o'clock news. Some fool was trying to outrun the police. Well, this would have been after O.J., right? This was – oh, yeah, well after O.J.
Oh, without
a
doubt.
But it was every night. Now, so we would sit there and watch them, and one thing we'd be like, what's your plan when you get into that? Like, he's on the highway. He's doing 95. Like, are you really going to make it to Mexico? Okay, so, what are you, Christopher Cross? It's not going to happen. Let me ask you a question, though. Did they have a car chase correspondent for the news?
Absolutely.
Like, was there a person specifically designated for that role, right? You know how we have they have the choppers there. The chopper day, like the chopper guy's day, was twofold. In the morning, it was traffic. At 6 o'clock, it was to do the car chase.
Oh, that's terrific!
It was unbelievable every night. And then, of course, they had this one. I think he was a weatherman, and his name was like Dallas Rains. Like, I'm not even kidding. And he was, like, tan and, like, blonde hair. Like, he looked like a Ken doll. And my buddy Terry, you know, let's keep this show clean, but my buddy Terry always used to say he looked like really disheveled, you know, in a way. He looked sort of, like, disheveled and, like, you know, something was going on under the desk when they threw it to him. You know what I mean? like, hold on just 1 second. Hold on. I'll get you the weather in a minute.
That's terrific.
Yeah, he was filthy. But the nightly chase. Exactly. So that teaser you threw out the one day, though, for the local news, they're just so good. What's in your kid's lunchbox? It may kill them. You better watch. Anyway, Cal,
all your work, is your pet driving your car? You might be surprised to know what's happening.
Paul Cassiopo has more at 11.
How your own teens can get you pregnant.
An RTU special report. So listen, fellas. Well, PJ, how was your week?
Oh, it was great. Absolutely great. I spent the whole week rebuilding instruments, getting Dumpling Sound Studios back up.
Excellent. How's it look? Yeah, how's it looking?
Not great. Not great yet. It's like a cliche equipment closet. You know, if you were going to set up the equipment closet in a crazy man's house, that's what it is. Wires, things on the walls, like there are mops on the walls. We don't know why there are mops on the walls, and there's wires on the floor, and there's a rolled up carpet, and there's a heater in the middle that you know is going to set something on fire, but it's still there. And then me.
Right. Well, PJ, the mops are there because you had a 1,000-year flood.
Yeah, but the water's gone, but the mops remain.
Isn't that a Led Zeppelin album?
The mop remains, yes.
Right. The water's gone, but the mop remains. I think that was a live album.
And when the water has receded.
This is a song of hope. Now, Cal, I was talking to PJ today. We might as well do this on the air before we get into the actual sports portion of our evening.
Okay.
I was talking to Paul Cacioppo there, the bishop,
about doing a live RTU from Dumpling Sound Studios on a Saturday night. When you say, well, when you say live, because we're live right now. No, no, no. I'm talking about in the same room, physically.
Oh,
okay. Taking a ride to Dumpling Sound Studios.
Once the room is really back online and it's a studio, perhaps
right.
as a re-maiden voyage, a revisit of the maiden voyage.
There's a maiden involved.
The maiden. Well, come on, we'll do this.
Then we'll play this live. Yeah, that, I only come if you will do this live.
Oh. Oh.
That'd be hot.
Oh.
Like a house band. So basically we have the RTU house band, who's also the host and the producer.
Let's do that.
So we gotta do that, Bri. And then maybe we can have that special guest on that we're gonna have. Let's do that. Would be a good time to do it.
I still have her number.
Jenna Jameson. That's correct. We're going strict Howard Stern on that show.
Right.
Right.
We're going old school Howard Stern.
I could get Dr. Oz.
We could get Dr. Oz. See, that's the kind of producer he is. You hear him, Bri? I can get you Dr. Oz. Like, he just starts throwing out names. He's going to be like, I can get you, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr.
I mean,
if you want Freddie, I mean, I didn't know you guys would want that on the show.
Well, I would. I'd get him so that he'd bring his wife.
Dr. Oz is, who's Dr. Oz's wife?
No, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s wife.
Oh, Mrs. Oz.
Dorothy.
He's our producer's talking out of his ass. I get
you. I don't know anybody.
I mean,
and those people that I do know still wouldn't let me call in the favor.
That's right. Vin Scully? I get you, Vin Scully. I didn't know you guys would want, you know what I mean? Tony Orlando and Dawn? Just say the word. I can make that happen. Can you
get
Bill
Sue Simmons? Do you want Sue Simmons? She's really nice. Friendly lady. Janice Huff? You want Janice Huff?
Can you get Bill Bixby? Cal has a special request. We want Bill Bixby. But whatever you
he
do,
did.
Do not make him mad.
I don't think he's with us anymore.
I think he has passed away, Cal.
I think he's moved on.
Yes, he has.
To greener pastures. Ha ha, ha ha.
Oh, man. Good one. Good one. If anybody out there is listening live to us, we do have a lot of listeners to the podcast. I don't know how many people check us out live, but if you are listening and you want to call in and talk about anything we're talking about tonight, and you can see what we're going to talk about on the Blog Talk Radio page, because I put some of the topics that we might get into tonight that Cal and I are burning to get into.
You did that?
I did that.
I couldn't find that.
Do not look. What is with you, man? I better check that out.
I went and I could not find it. And my Uvu keeps quitting out, so I hope I'm not getting dumped.
That is not, he's not using some sort of code there. Uvu is the program that we use to video conference call each other. That was in prison slang.
I had an Uvu just before I came on the air. I don't know if I told you.
I am 3 Uvus to the wind right now.
I had a nice long Uvu. I'll tell you about it later.
I didn't even know who she was, but she could Uvu. So listen, so Pete, we'll talk to you a little later in the show. When you do the your top 10 albums of the 90s. You going to do that?
With just one question before I leave. Do they have to be from the 90s?
No, let's do your top 10 albums from the 90s. It could be any decade.
What about the top 10 albums that I enjoyed in the 90s, which could have been from any time? No.
So we want to make the fun load. What was PJ listening to in the 90s?
Well, I think the fun load in general should be about what I'm thinking, what I like, you know.
Well, you did write the theme song.
No, I didn't. A lie.
It's only right. Fair. Can you play this later when we do the actual fun load? You're confusing all our listeners, and the people on the West Coast think the show's already over.
That's right. They're like, oh, I'm late. The show's
I'm late.
Been on for an hour.
We missed the big unload. They're already at the fun load.
I unloaded my Uvu.
Peach Boone talk to you in a bit, and you can reveal your top 10 albums you were listening to in 1993. How's that?
You just wait. You just wait to what I reveal.
What was PJ? And Cal, you're in on this too. I don't want you to think we're going to be like, no, Cal, you can't tell us what you were listening to in 1993.
I don't want to tell you what I was listening to in 1993.
What were we listening to in 1993? Okay? That's what we're going to do. All right. The Mets will have the same record that they had in 1993 this year, the coming year, so we'll do it that way. They're going to suck that badly.
Good time.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a bit, producer man.
I love you.
He does. You know, the nice part is he does. He does. I feel it. Listen, Cal. Penn State, right? We talked about it a lot last week. It's not going away. Obviously, it's not going to go away for a long time. It's a scandal of epic proportions in sports. I just want to continue the conversation that we've been having. Whether it's on BlackBerry IM or whatever, you know, and not get into anything special. But I wanted to ask you, did you, because it was unclear in our BlackBerry IMs, did you watch the Sandusky interview with Bob Costas? What do you take from that if you did? And is that the worst legal Hail Mary in the history of sports or history of the legal profession?
Of law?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't watch it. I couldn't. As I said, it's and you know I don't want to come off as sanctimonious or anything, but he literally makes my stomach turn. The man, just to see him on TV or to hear him talk, or I can't listen to him. And I was debating whether or not I was going to watch the interview because I figured it was probably a big deal. You know, it's probably something that you should listen to. You should check it out and at least hear what he has to say. But I didn't watch it. I did hear about it, and I know what he said. And I'm glad I didn't watch it because it's incomprehensible how he's trying to claim his innocence in this.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of what we found out recently since that interview is that essentially that's not an unusual thing for – and again, I've convicted this guy. I don't care. I refuse to use the word alleged. The you know, abundance of evidence is overwhelmingly in favor of the fact that this guy is guilty of these charges, or at least most of them. But we found out, Bri, that that's not unusual. Okay, for a serial pedophile to be in denial about their actual acts.
That's true.
And to sort of think, and that doesn't by any way, shape, or form excuse it. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just simply saying, if anything, he fit the profile. He went directly into the profile of a pedophile by denying these acts or saying things like, oh, well, I shouldn't have showered with – I mean, just the whole thing just – ugh. You know, all of it. You read the grand jury report. You read the all the eyewitness accounts and stuff like that. You can't have your flesh crawl anymore.
No.
But what about and this is what I really wanted to ask you about, Bri. What about a cover up here of epic proportions? I mean, what? Can you see a situation where this goes to the state level in Pennsylvania? Can you see it's a situation where to protect the good name of Penn State and Joe Paterno, who is, you know, they ought to call it Paterno State. Can you see a cover up of that epic proportions going forward or
that it's been covered up
or that it's been that? I mean, is it too simplistic to say that Joe Paterno might have known there were whispers, blah, 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 or was like this known and specifically covered up for years until they could get the guy out of there because he couldn't control himself over those years. You know, like one of those deals where they kept going to him and saying, you got to stop doing this. Got to stop.
Yeah, but Steve, they got him out of there and he continued to do it. And then he continued to come back and do it.
Right, but they left him to go back there, Bri. I mean, they let him go back on the campus. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like,
right. So the cover up that you got to get out of here didn't work because he kept going back.
Right.
And they kept allowing him back.
I just wonder how, if the charges and if the situation is as far reaching, and the scandal and is as far reaching as it potentially might be, how many mechanisms are in place to keep this under wraps?
Right. Listen, how many graduates of Penn State are working in law enforcement in the legal field? I mean,
absolutely.
Who knows? Who knows how far this will go?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just in the week and a half that we've seen this story, every day it's like another layer of the onion gets peeled back. And it's something more that gets revealed. So I don't think we could even comprehend how deep this story goes or predict where it's going.
Right. What do you make of the McQuarrie stuff now? I mean, what do you make of him saying that he did stop it, and he didn't physically stop the what he was witnessing, the incident in the shower and the supposed rape of the boy in the shower. He says that I did stop it. I made sure it stopped. Do you find this to be sort of convenient?
Oh, the timing is awful.
Right.
And I don't know if he has an attorney that's guiding him in this case.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Well, then this was poor advice. This was poor legal advice to have him speak yesterday.
Right. Well, let me ask you though, just gut feeling, do you buy it? You don't buy any part of that?
No, not at all. Because, and I'll tell you why, there's a grand jury report which details what his testimony was back in 2002.
Why didn't he mention it in the grand jury report?
Why didn't he mention it then?
That he stopped it. Right.
Right. And the other thing is that he's lying now, or he was lying then. He was lying when he testified, and if he lied under oath when he testified, I mean, that's perjury.
And it's a federal offense because
right.
Perjury in front of a grand jury. But
so either way, what he tried to do by saying that he stopped it and by sending that email out, it hurt him one way or the other. Either he was lying then and he perjured himself, or he's lying now and he's making himself look worse.
But there's no chance he's lying then.
I don't think so.
No chance, because he's essentially flushing his career down the toilet. You know what I mean?
And twice.
When
he go to jail.
Well, no, but I'm saying, I'm not even talking about perjury, Brian. I'm talking about him saying that he witnessed an anal rape in a shower, you know, with Jerry Sandusky and his kid. Why would he lie about that? He would be destroying his career. You know what I mean? So there's no chance he's lying about that. I don't think. You know, but it's suspect to say now, oh, and I made sure it wasn't going on anymore. I made sure it stopped.
And you know what? I don't need
Why
to
wouldn't
hear,
you just say that then?
Right, and I don't need to hear, well, the facts will come out in time. There's a lot more to this than
no,
know right now.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just him buying time to make up more facts.
That's fancy lawyer talk.
I don't know. What do you make of him?
He's the... You know what's even more difficult about it? I don't know what to make of him, Brian. And also, they don't have this witness or this victim. They don't, the victim number two, they don't have.
Well, what do you think of the
victim
today?
Doesn't come forward. Victim number two has – it doesn't. They don't know who this is.
Well, there is a victim that claims he was assaulted by Sandusky, and the attorney has come forward. I don't know if you saw this today, that an attorney has come forward. He says he has a client who was a victim of Sandusky, and he was motivated to really press, you know, to push the issue with Sandusky and to come forward now. He was motivated by Sandusky's interview the other night with Bob Costas.
Did see that. Right. That he was so disgusted by that interview and Sandusky denying that he did these things.
Right.
Didn't this victim also say that? But I think this is victim number one.
This is not the victim from the shower. No, this is a different one.
I want to bring Peege back in on this. Peege, jump back in on this because I'm sure you've been watching the coverage too, and I want to bring you back into the conversation for a second. PJ, what do you make of McQueary as far as this goes right now? Do you buy his story at all, or do you find right? Okay, so
the email thing smacks of, you know, saying what you need to say to your friend to have them leave you alone. You know.
Okay. Right.
And also, you know, it speaks of his regret. Maybe in his mind, he really did want to be the guy who stopped it, and since regrets that he never did.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, I think it reads this way.
Also,
does he since regret that he never did, or does he regret it now that everybody has come down on him saying that he should have? Yeah, it's tough.
Both.
I mean, it's a tough question. And he also, right, both, definitely. And he also, let's keep in mind, guys, and this is, again, to no way, shape, or form excuse him. I'm just putting things into the context in which it happens. This kid is, this is a grown man. He's 28 years old. I'm sorry, he's not 20. Okay, he was 28 years old at the time of the assault.
At the time.
Right? He's got a grad assistant job with the football program. He still has a job there. Okay? At what point do we have to just suspect that he was bought off? You know, and bought off with a job.
You suspect that from day one.
Right. Well, didn't he get his job shortly thereafter? Maybe he got his permanent job, you mean?
But he was an unpaid graduate assistant. I think he received a paying job at the university shortly thereafter in 2002.
Right, so now you start to wonder if he didn't put the screws to them and say, I will go to the police if you don't. You know what I mean? Like, it just can get so freaking disgusting and serial pulp novelish. I don't know if that's the right connotation, but you guys know what I mean. Like, just so down and dirty.
In an investigation like this, where these are the circumstances, you don't allow anybody the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You know?
They've lost all that.
You can't.
They lost all that. You don't write something off to someone's better angels or something and say why something didn't happen. You look for the darkness now.
Right.
Because this is layers and layers deep. It's you know, bureaucratically layers deep. It's criminally layers deep. It's morally layers deep. And it all came out
true.
Big splash. You just,
right.
You know, it's going to take a while to peel the onion.
Right, and digest it and peel the curtain back on you know, in full on the drama, because you're absolutely right. Cal, answer me this. Now, with Paterno now out, Paterno, you know, the board does what it has to do. You know, we discussed all that last week, and they did the right thing, finally. But now it's coming out more and more about how much power Paterno actually wielded at Penn State. I think it was like the worst, you know, sort of the worst kept secret in the world.
Mm.
But how much further, I mean, do you think at some point that Paterno winds up being investigated for a cover-up? What does your gut tell you on that?
My gut tells me that he will be.
Right? Like, they keep saying he's not a target of the investigation and blah, 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 blah. I think you have to get somebody outside in there. I think you have to get somebody outside of Pennsylvania,
right?
You know, the right. Pennsylvania authorities, whether it's they've talked about Tom Ridge or they've talked about whatever. Okay, you have to get somebody outside of them, because who's going to go after Joe Pa?
Somebody will go after him. This is such a huge story now that someone can make a name for themselves. You know, every act is a selfish act when you think about it. You know, so somebody will go after. You know, if I'm the guy that goes and gets Joe Paterno, makes a name for himself that way,
right.
But whoever it is will use this situation, which, you know,
this is huge. This is a huge thing. This is not a point shaving scandal. This is not giving recruits money. You know, this is serious. You know, and I think that it warrants an investigation.
Right.
From an independent source.
Right. Or on the federal level.
I don't think the state police are going to get anywhere.
No.
With this.
You've got to put the screws to everybody, though. Everybody.
Right. Everybody. Yeah.
Because if you lay back on enough people and there is a conspiracy, well, then you're giving them an excuse to everybody stick to your story and just wait it out.
Right.
You've got to test loyalties. You have to put people against each other. You know, you have to play the old, this guy said this about you and this guy said this about you and what are you going to say back? You know, it's a journalist job.
Right. Right. The Woodward and Bernstein, right. He said this about
you.
What do you got to say about that when he may not have even said that about you?
No, right. That doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
No, I agree.
That's just the way to dig to it.
Now, from a football standpoint, Brian, I don't know if you – I don't think you got to watch the game on Saturday. I know I didn't. But, you know, obviously football takes a back seat. There were, Penn State trying to
– No.
oh, dear. By the way, it's almost impossible not to have – when discussing the story, to have some sort of – it's almost impossible – not to have some sort of double entendre situation. It's just, it's almost impossible. And the man's name is terrible for this. Terrible. It's unfortunate.
Well, Paterno?
Sandusky. Because it sounds like, I know. Right. So, forgive me for, backseating the whatever. The football game was on. There were protests. There were people in support of abused children. You know, I could care less. I could care less about the game. I could care less. Now, I didn't go there, but I could care less if Penn State ever plays a football game again. I mean, that's how much I blame the football program for this going on.
But you got to blame more than just the football program, Steve. It's the entire university.
No, but Cal, the importance of the football program is why this man was never reported. Period.
Right. That's true.
Period. What the football program means to Penn State, to me, and what it meant to Joe Paterno, and what Joe Paterno meant to it, is why this guy was allowed to hide. Because they couldn't tarnish the good, and there's too much money at stake with the football program. How many millions of dollars does that football program bring in a year? How many millions of dollars?
I can't even imagine.
It's the biggest money maker Penn State has. Period. Period. I'm going to stop saying period.
Right.
One more. Period.
Right.
So the football program, to me, is to blame. Now, not these current players. It's not their fault. They should be – I think they should be allowed a free transfer. You know, the NCAA never does that. But the NCAA also has never had a situation like this, ever. So I think they should be allowed a free transfer. I think they should be allowed a free year of eligibility. And if they want to transfer to another year to another school, they don't lose a year of eligibility. Because if I was a football player and I had any sort of conscience, I wouldn't want to play there anymore. Because the football – and Dr. Ire said it, and they are like a cult. It is cultish. It is absolutely cultish what they were doing outside of Joe Paterno's house.
Yep-ish.
I know. And it's the cult of college football at that school. And to me, that's to blame for this not being reported. So, I don't care. Oh, we bleed blue and, you know what? Then don't go to the football game. That would have been a good protest. Have empty seats there.
I can't kill them for what they did.
You can't.
I'm sorry. No, PJ, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can't kill Paterno?
No, I can't kill the fans for going to the game and supporting victims of child abuse.
No.
I thought it was a, you know, like they say, you can't let the actions of a few paint the entire school. You can't. And
well,
the
I said last week was that it had just had the potential of becoming a circus, but I don't think it became the circus that you had feared it might have become.
Right.
I know you
didn't like it.
Do that at the next basketball game.
You know what I mean? Well, but the football team and the football program is to blame for this.
So yeah, it just
seemed hypocritical to me that you're going to put 107,000 people in that stadium who all paid to be there, okay, and put that much money back in the football program's pocket.
I know.
You know, it's vicious cycle. Now, Brian, don't get me wrong. I'm not killing the people that went to the game and showed support for victim abuse, okay? You went, did it.
Yeah. I really think that a lot of them went for the right reason.
Right.
They didn't go to support Penn State football and give their money to the program. I think they really did it for the right reason.
You're absolutely right. And let me make the distinction. What I would have liked to have seen was them not go for that other reason, to say football is the reason we're in this mess. Okay, football is the reason these victims are here, or you know, these people have been victimized. I'm going to take the week off. Why don't all 107,000 of us take the week off and not go to a football game to show that we understand football is the reason we're here?
A collective moment of silence.
Exactly.
On attendance.
An absentee moment of silence. Now, but Brian, you're absolutely right. Let's make the distinction. I do believe that 90% of the people that were there with the best intentions of supporting victims of abuse. So for sure.
Right.
You know, if they were going to go, at least they went for the right reason. Absolutely. But
I think.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. From what I saw, you know, the coverage I saw and stuff like that, I agree with you. But I will say this. Story makes me sick every day. Every day.
How much can he kill Paterno for not going to the police, though? Because had he gone to the police, it still would have been hearsay. He didn't see anything.
But it's his responsibility. It's the law. It's the law. See, he's out on a legal technicality, Peach, because it is a law on the books in Pennsylvania, just like it is in New York. If you are an educator and you work at a school, any school, and you have knowledge of any sort of potential child abuse, whether it be sexual or physical, you are obligated legally to report it to a superior.
Now, no, that's where you're wrong. It's not a law in Pennsylvania. It's a law in 18 states, and Pennsylvania is not one of them.
They said it was a law. They said the only reason he's not up on he's not being charged is because he reported it to his quote-unquote superior, who's the AD. I'm pretty sure it is on the books in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Bri.
I'll have to look at that. I thought that was the loophole here, was that it's not a law in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is one of the states where it's not. I'll have to check on that. I could be wrong.
Check it out. Because I seem to remember reading that. But anyway, in any case, to answer your question, Peach, he had more than hearsay. He had a grad assistant telling him what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is not just what he's obligated to do by the law, which I'm really pretty sure, Cal, that he was obligated to tell his superior.
I'm going to have
the law. But we'll check it out. But what he's morally obligated to do, which to me, this happens in 2002, 3 years after this guy resigns. Jerry Sandusky has already resigned. Paterno had to have known about it the whole time. He had to have known about it for years. For years. So when McCreary comes to him in 2002, he just says, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not going to go to the police. That's going to tarnish the program. You know, and this guy's been doing it for years. You know, somebody just slap him on the wrist again, okay, and tell him not to bring kids around the school. That's exactly what happened to me. You know, and
it's...
Take him out
the woods like everybody else.
That's it. That's it. Don't do it on school grounds. We're going to turn our back.
NAMBLA argument. See? That's back to my NAMBLA argument.
Well, I'll tell you what, Peach. The funny thing is,
people that are okay with it.
I don't. You know, we you know, Cal. I know you were probably listening to Francesa the last couple of days, or listening to Sports Talk Radio here. That was brought up more times than I thought it would be.
Right.
The idea that Paterno turned a blind eye to it because he didn't have a problem with it.
I can't buy that.
You know, I can't buy that. I can't buy that out of a 75-year-old, you know, at that time, Paterno. I can't. You know, I can't. I can see him not understanding it at all. And maybe not necessarily approving of it, definitely not approving of it, but not understanding it and just being like, whatever. You know? Like, you know, turn it into like the old man, like, flippity flu. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I guess it's wrong, but who knows? You know, I can't see him, but that argument, Peach, was made a ton.
Yeah.
And that argument was made a ton, and it was made by. It was brought up, Cal. I don't know if you caught that one worker who works, a social service worker who works with abused children and stuff like that, and has worked, you know, caught pedophiles, and you know, he sort of said that too. That sometimes in the workplace it's not necessarily frowned upon. And that's why it's not reported.
Here, you were right about this, by the way. In most states, professionals who work with children in any capacity are identified as mandated reporters and are required by law to report suspected child abuse or neglect. And what I was thinking was approximately 18 states define mandated reporters more broadly to include any citizen who is suspected that a child is being abused or neglected.
I see.
So all states, you're right, all states, a teacher or an educator would be considered a mandated reporter, and they are required by law to report suspected abuse.
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
They don't even have to see it.
Right. And then the 18 states just kind of extend that mandated reporter designation. You don't have to be a teacher. You could just be like any, you know, a person in the room.
You'd be a janitor.
Like the janitors
in this case.
Right.
You know.
And that's why, okay. I got it now. That's why McQueary wouldn't have been arrested, because he wasn't a mandated reporter. And Pennsylvania is not one of the 18 states that extends that mandated reporter designation.
I see.
So that's what I was thinking of.
See, I thought McQueary was off the hook because he told Paterno.
No. He's off the hook because he told Paterno, and he's off the hook because he's not a mandated reporter.
I see. But Paterno is.
But Paterno is.
Then you just kind of get these two guys on Truth Serum and ask him, well, then why didn't you go any further with this?
Right. Well,
why are you okay with this? What element about this made it okay?
Well, that's what Francesa said about the interview with Costas and Sandusky, and Sandusky's lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Francesa, to his credit, has done a great job with this story. We kill him all the time, but he's been really great with this story.
And we'll kill him again.
I'll kill him for what he said about the Mets today, because he took the Mets out to the woodshed. And he enjoyed it. So
we'll get to that.
Yeah, because I'm going to take the Mets out to the woodshed tonight. All right. Well, we got to stop saying that, because that's not good with the Sandusky conversation. You can't say anything.
Look what he's done. He's ruined everything.
You can't talk him out of anything. I'm telling you. But Francesa
taking all the innuendo and made it wrong.
Exactly. Francesa said the question I would ask is, how do you not ask them if they'll take a lie detector test? You ask Sandusky point blank if he's a pedophile. He danced around the answer, by the way, or danced around the question.
Mm-hmm.
And then Costas asked him again.
Danced around it, and then he said no.
Yeah. Yeah.
His frontal lobe wouldn't let him deny it.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's how you know you got the guy. It's the same way Michael Jackson wouldn't answer the question.
Right. Right. I'm just a kid on a playground.
Right.
They said the same thing about him. He's just a big kid. That's what his lawyer said.
Right. He's just a big kid.
Yeah.
A big, sick kid.
Big kids got to keep their pants on, though.
Yeah. But, you know, Costas could have asked him, will you take a lie detector test? You know, that would have been a good question. Look, all right, that's enough with enough now. That's enough. It's not enough. It's never going away. I know. And it's getting in the way of talking about the frivolity of regular sports, which is supposed to be just fun and trivial. And you know what, Bri? Sports lately are not fun for me. I'm not having any fun.
No, we talked about this the other night.
Not having any fun after the Jets lost to the Patriots.
Ooh.
And the Islanders are in the midst of another 10-game losing streak. And, I mean, shoot, Bri, even the Dayton Flyers lost last night in their first game of the season to Miami of Ohio in overtime. I mean, I said the other day, this was hilarious. I said the other day, on Monday, I said, who's the best NASCAR guy? I'm going to root for him. Like, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. Nobody can say a word to me because it's NASCAR. Who cares what bandwagon you jump on? And I'm going to go all in for the best NASCAR guy so I can experience winning.
Well, I think NASCAR fans would have a say in that.
Yeah, but I'm in New York. I'm not in Alabama.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be one of seven NASCAR fans in New York.
Why don't you go to a Knicks game?
They'll welcome me. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Ass.
Oh, my God.
You've been waiting you've been waiting 2 months to say that. But Cal, what was it that Dr. E-Ray told me? He said it would have been hilarious if I had said this on Sunday, right, and said I was going to root for Jimmy Johnson because he's the 5-time NASCAR champion. And he's like the Yankees right now of NASCAR.
Right.
And so if I had said that on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, he was eliminated from the points championship this year. That would have got on right in time. I would have got on board right on time for Jimmy Johnson to fall. I would have mushed him too.
It's crazy.
I'm at the point where they give me my tickets ripped up at the track already, Cal. I'm a mush. Listen, let's talk about this baseball thing before we
get to the where did we start?
Well, look, I said we weren't going to talk about Jose Reyes, okay?
Okay.
We spent very nice. Ooh, love it. That's nice. It's time for This Week in Baseball. We spent like an hour on Jose Reyes 2 weeks ago. Then we had Ted Bergen, spent another 45 minutes with on it.
Well, look at it this way. In a couple of weeks, we will be spending no more time on Jose Reyes, ever.
That's correct.
So we might as well just get it all out now.
At least from the Mets standpoint.
So, Steve, what do you think about the report that Florida, or Miami, the Marlins, have offered Jose Reyes a 6-year, $100 million contract? Let's start there.
I thought it was 90.
It could have been. I've seen 90. I've seen 100.
I've seen a million.
What do you think of that?
Let's say it's 6 years and 100.
Let's say 6 years, $100 million.
I hate it because the Mets are not going to match that.
Do you think they should?
From a baseball aspect, 6 years at $100 million? What is that? How much is that a year? 17?
We are not looking at this in a vacuum. We're looking at real facts in today's world and the current state of the Mets. We're dealing in reality right now.
Okay?
Reality.
PJ Bryan's yelling at me.
Listen, this is tough love right now.
Okay.
Okay, do you think the Mets, in their current state, Steve, do you think they should match that offer? Yes or no?
Doctor erase test is unavailable.
Oh, you, me. Okay.
Steve.
Right. Sam Pete.
Cal.
Steve.
I don't know. He introduces the X. Did you ever see that SNL sketch, Jackie Rogers Jr.'s $100,000 jackpot watch?
Yes.
And when Jim Belushi is playing Bob Keesha as Captain Kangaroo, and they're doing, it's like a password situation, and Mary Gross is the contestant. That's what I feel like Mary Gross right now. He introduces the act. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Top hat microphone.
A monkey. Introduces the act. Next one. Sorry, that's a little inside SNL baseball. But that's what I feel like. No, I don't know. Okay, out of the vacuum. We're not in a vacuum. Out of the vacuum. Like Peter said, you can't breathe. No, they can't.
They can't.
They can't. They can't. They simply cannot afford 6 years and $100 million.
All right, now,
what if it was 5 years? They can't do that either.
So it's the $100 million.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They could take $20 million on in salary this year. I'm firmly convinced of that.
I don't know how, because they're only going to have $15 million for 20 players.
Oh, enough already, Adam Rubin. Look, all I'm saying is that's nonsense. They could take him – if Jose Reyes came to them tomorrow and said, 4 years, $80 million, they would do that.
I would do that.
As would I.
I would be okay with that.
They would do that. I firmly believe the Mets would do that. I think that's the only thing they can afford.
Now, I think, and we talked about this, I think he's more interested in the years, and that would make sense because he's injury prone.
He's got to be.
And he'll take less money per year if it guarantees him a longer contract.
Exactly. He'd be a fool not to be more concerned with the years.
Now, if he didn't have a history of leg problems, I think the Mets would have more of a shot. The Mets could kind of load up a 3 or 4 year contract for him and then sell him on the fact that when he's 31, 32 years old, he can get another mega contract after that. But he's got bad legs.
But Cal, it's not even the bad legs. He relies on his legs. He's never going to sign a deal for less than 5 years. Ever.
He's got bad legs too.
But he would be a fool. Only a fool would sign a contract for less than 5 years right now if you're him. You're 28 years old. You don't want to go through this again when you're 33, 32 years old. You don't want to go through this again with 4 more years on his legs. Then what are you going to get? You're going to get Ugas. No, he's got to get a 6 or 7 year deal right now. He's got to. That's why I would not be surprised if he took 6 for $90. Now, the bigger problem, Mr. Brian.
Was worried about this,
is that the Mets, the New York Mets, cannot afford 6 years and $90 million. The New York Mets.
I don't buy that.
They can't afford it, Ryan.
I don't buy that.
I think they can afford it.
They can't afford to keep their own player.
I think they can afford it, and they're choosing not to because he's got bad legs.
Oh, nonsense. 6 years at $90 million, Brian, that's a bargain. That's $15 million at the end of that contract.
See, now I think it's the 6 years that's the problem.
He's making $14 million now.
Okay, fine. The 6 years is the problem?
I don't know.
I don't know. Next question. A monkey.
God.
He introduces the axe.
It's frustrating. You're right.
But, Bri, okay, we can look at it this way. If it's not the years, why can't the New York Mets afford to take on 6 years and $90 million?
They've got no money.
The Yankees can.
The Mets
other big market teams can. They have no money. They can't afford the years or the contract. They can't do anything.
So here's what I propose.
You ready?
You ready for me to unload?
I see what you did there. I am not spending another penny on this team. I will not give those men,
jeez,
named Wilpon, another dime. I'm going Frank Costanza right now. My eyes are closed. For those of you listening, I'm moving out of moving to Del Boca Vista.
I'm not buying any hats. I'm not buying any jerseys. I'm not buying any tickets.
I'm out, baby. I am not giving these guys another penny. When Jose Reyes goes and signs with another team, I am not giving them another penny. And you know what? I'm canceling SNY. Well, all right, that's a lie. I'm not canceling SNY.
You're not canceling SNY.
I love SNY. There's no chance. And that's not to say, that's not to say that I won't watch them. I'll watch them on TV. I will not give those guys another dime. As long as this ownership group, I'm going to take the year off. No hats, no cars, no motor cars, not a single luxury.
I'm just going to screw that all up. But. So you've chosen the 50th anniversary celebration of this organization as the year you're going to take off.
See, the best memorabilia and merchandising year.
So let me understand this.
Because you don't think I've thought this out.
Let me just get this straight. Earlier today at Citi Field, the Mets held a press conference.
They did.
Talking about what a huge celebration this upcoming year was going to be. The 50th anniversary, 50 years of Mets baseball. They changed the uniforms. They're bringing back Banner Day. They're giving out jerseys at every game with the word fantastic on the back and a number 50. No player will wear the number 50 this year. And you're telling me that this is the year you're going to take off.
I've had it.
DJ just hung up.
Well, why shouldn't it be, Brian? This is unacceptable. Unacceptable that these guys own my team. Unacceptable.
I get it.
They are running this team into the ground. Cal, let me just put this. This is what put me over the edge today. Okay? We can't afford Ramon Hernandez.
True story?
We can't afford Ramon Hernandez, a 37-year-old second-rate catcher. We will not give him 2 years. We cannot afford that.
Well, that was like the other day when the Dodgers signed Mark Ellis.
Mark Ellis couldn't
like
afford that.
Right. The Mets were in on Mark Ellis, but then he got $4
million. $4 million, the whole dollars. I understand in human context, that's quite a bit of money. In baseball, that's what the 26th guy on the bench makes. The Yankees trainer makes $4 million a year. The bat boy's making 2.5.
Alex Rodriguez has made $4 million since this show has been on the air at 9:30.
And we're in the off season.
He's not even doing anything.
He's not doing anything. Look, they can't afford Chris Capuano, Brian. Chris Capuano wants 2 years. We cannot do that. I mean, come on. They're offering Angel Pagan arbitration, Brian. You know why? Because he's the most cost-effective solution in center field. He stinks.
I don't like him.
But at $4.5 or $5 million, he's a bargain. Because every other solution in center field is going to cost more than $5. This is my team. It's not about cutting the payroll down to $110 million. I don't care about that. But you can't tell me to come and buy tickets to come see this team when you can't afford Ramon Hernandez. I can't have it. I can't. Why are they still allowed to own this team? And I don't want to get all Joe Beningo here, Bri. I'm trying really hard not to do this. We talked to Ted Berg last week, and I agree with Ted. I don't think they're going to be nearly as bad as everybody says they're going to be. I think there's a wealth of young talent there that people don't think is talented. I think that they're vastly underestimating what a guy like Ike Davis for 160 games healthy would mean to that lineup. Okay, Ike Davis, a number one first-round draft pick, a huge baseball pedigree, had a great rookie year, was on his way to a great second year until he got bit by the Met bug.
Only the Mets.
Only the Mets. But I'm saying there's talent on this team. If Johan Santana, if, I know, comes back in any way, shape, or form and gives them quality innings, they're not a bad team. They're not going to win 50 games. It's nonsense. Okay, but why should I give them any money?
Listen. The roof of this team. did you choose or did you not have a choice?
I had a choice. I could have gotten out. I mean, they were given to me. I could have gotten out.
See, I wasn't given a choice.
Which is funny, considering that your dad is Waffle House.
That's what makes it just all the more maddening.
And right, he gave you the Mets, and then he went and rooted for the Yankees as well.
I didn't have a choice, yet he decided to bail. But the boat was sinking, and, you know, save yourself.
the ship be sinking, and he got out.
Thanks. Yeah, put on a Yankee hat and bailed. See, the thing is, and I get where you're coming from. I totally get where you're coming from. I'm furious with the Wilpons. I can't stand the fact that they own this team. I can't stand the fact that there's no money to re-sign one of the three best position players we've ever produced.
At least top five.
I hate that. But the way that I look at it is that I, for better or for worse, this is my team, and I love this team more than I'm willing to give it up or give up what I normally would do.
That's fair. I can't take that away from you.
It's frustrating. It's maddening because I wish I had the conviction to stand up and say, ah, Wilpons be damned. I'm not going. I'm not buying a shirt. I'm wearing a shirt right now. Just wearing a Mets shirt right now. And I will probably go out and buy one of the new jerseys. I think they're sweet.
They are pretty sweet.
But I hate, and I don't know, does it make me a hypocrite? I don't know, because I hate them. I hate them. I look at them, and I wish they would go away. I wish something would happen. I wish that the Madoff trustee would win his case. You know, I wish that they would go bankrupt and bring somebody else in. You know, when the Einhorn thing fell through, that was the worst moment of the season for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Nothing else, not when Ike Davis broke his leg bumping into David Wright.
Yeah.
You know, that was the worst moment. And
getting hit by a sniper, that's apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a bone fracture on his anyway. I agree. Einhorn was the worst moment of the season because there is money about to come into the team.
Right. And it is galling, is the only way to put it, to continuously hear them say that they are not having financial problems, that the prospective sale of shares of this team
is going
well, and there's
great
interest.
Yeah.
Great interest in this.
In buying 3% of the team for $20
right.
million.
You're not buying anything. You're essentially just loaning the Wilpons. You're giving the Wilpons money.
Yep.
You know, this is like a rich person looking for handouts.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more than that. I mean, that's what it is. I'm, you know, I'm a millionaire.
Come on down and own a piece of a Major League Baseball team. A very, very small piece. This is a piece that Hyman Roth would have liked.
In this week's Showcase Showdown, we present the New York Mets.
Yes, you too, for $20 million, can own 3% of the New York Mets and get a Mets jacket and really good seats,
really good. Not a luxury box or anything, but really good seats. And remember, everything is blue. Just give us a loan. Just invest in the Mets. That's what it is. And this can all be yours if the price is right.
If you have $20 million.
Oh. 3-1. I don't know. I cannot take the radical step that you're taking. I don't believe you will be able to stay true to this.
Well, that's me. These are two different things you're saying.
Listen to me. Listen. April 5th is going to come around real soon. I didn't say I wasn't going to watch the team. So I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
No, I'm not misinterpreting a single thing you're saying.
I follow them and root for them. I just don't want to give those men any more money.
Well, then I'm just envisioning a scenario where
hey, Steve, I happen to have an extra ticket to opening day.
Is it free?
Well, then I'm there. I'm there, baby.
If it's not free, you're not going.
If it's not free, it's not for me.
I don't buy that.
You're going to fall off the wagon with merchandising. That's where you're going to go.
Wow.
I think you might. I love how everybody's taking bets on how I can't possibly do this.
Let's wager. Let's Cal and I have a wager on you.
All right.
We're
both on the same side of this, PJ.
Well, but I'm wagering specifically on merchandise, and you can bet on he will attend a game.
Okay.
All right. What are the stakes? The stakes have to be something good.
$20 million or a 3% share of the Mets. Take the $20 million. Take the $20 million.
You don't want a 3% share of the Mets.
I think you will be there before the end of May.
All right.
And, PJ, you think I'll buy merchandise, what, before the season starts? He's sizing me up on our video conference right
now. He is, literally. He's looking at you, trying to figure out how a Met hat would fit.
Well, yes. Let's say, what was Cal's date?
May? I'm going by the end of, I'll say Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, yes. You can't not buy Mets merchandise.
Wow.
Between now and Memorial Day.
All right. Listen, we're all friends here on the show, so we'll rely on the honor system. All right. This will be just like the bet on Sunday.
All right. Cut to December 3rd.
I'm out!
And you got a fancy new jersey on and a hat,
and I'm holding tickets to opening day.
Met sunglasses, everything.
Big Met scarf, Met pom-pom ski hat.
have your car detailed.
Look at this. You got a nice pair of Met sunglasses for you. I got them. Right? Look at that. Oh, look. You could have this. Am I wrong here, Brian? Look, I had a good conversation with McWalters today, right? And Kevin said, and Kevin's on this program too. Kevin is absolutely on this program too. And he said. Something that was so telling to me that I've sort of been ignoring.
This is a program?
Yeah, because I...
That's right. There's Kevin's theme music.
Wow. He made one appearance on the show in 2 years, and his theme music lives on. That's how good...
Memorable.
That's how good his theme music was. He wants to come on again, Brian, by the way.
Let's bring him on whenever he wants, because
I think he wants to come on and rail when Reyes signs.
That's it. As soon as he signs, we'll have him back on.
But we gotta lean heavy on the bleep button.
Yo, yeah.
Yeah, we gotta have PJ leaning heavily on the bleep button.
He's not radio friendly.
No, he won't be able to be that day. But he said something that was extraordinarily telling to me today, and that was in regards to and Francesa said it too. It's just that when Francesa said it today, it infuriates me because he's Francesa. And I know he hates the Mets, and he's making fun of them.
Right.
when Kevin said it today, it's because Kevin loves the Mets, and it's killing him that they are this team. And that is, you're going to tell me that you can't afford Ramon Hernandez, but I'm going to buy season tickets. Are you kidding? In New York, you can't afford to sign Jose Reyes. You can't afford to keep your own players. You're going to put that crappy of a product on the field and keep telling me that it's going to get better? And Kevin's big thing was, I don't like being lied to. And I'm continuing to be lied to. And he said today something that was in the papers the other day, and it was like the first thing from maybe it was Kevin Kernan or I don't know, one of the guys who really stinks, but he said something that did make sense. It'll never happen. No, it was Harper. It was Harper. Harper said, if you're the Mets and you don't sign Jose Reyes, when are you going to finally admit you have financial difficulties and that you're doing your best to come out of them and come watch the kids and sell it that way?
I'll tell you why, Steve. Because the minute that they do that, people will stop coming.
Yeah, I know. People aren't coming.
I know. But when they come out and they admit it, then the people will really stop coming.
I disagree with that. I think the Met fan wants them to be honest with them for once and just say the Madoff situation affected our finances. Are we solvent? Yes, we're okay. We can put a team on the field. And we're going to put the best team on the field we can, but we can't afford Jose Reyes right now. We can't.
I think the diehard Met fans absolutely want that. They want to hear that honesty. The people that are on the fence, you know, the easy come, easy go Met fans, if they hear that the team is rebuilding and we're not going to be good next year, then that's it. They're out.
So it doesn't have to be both. That's where I disagree with you. It doesn't have to mean they're rebuilding. They're cutting their payroll from $145 million, Cal, to $110 million.
Right. Well, yeah, okay.
Okay, they're not gutting the team to rebuild.
Typically, that's the case here, is you usually gut the team and you reduce your payroll and you rebuild and then you bring it back up. In this case, they're just reducing payroll.
Right. That's not exactly. That's what I'm saying. Just say we need to reduce payroll for a couple of years so we get this thing under control.
As you know, we encountered a tough situation.
That's it.
Now, let's be honest. I agree.
That was not our own doing, supposedly.
Right.
You know, we got caught in the middle of the Madoff mess that everybody else did. Okay, we got burned by a guy we trusted, and it's affected the finances for the Mets. See, you know why nobody cares about the Dodgers, Cal? Because it's all out there. It's all out there. They're bankrupt.
Yeah.
Oh, and they somehow managed to find 8 years and $160 million for Matt Kemp, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mets can't find 6 years and $90 million for Jose Reyes? But they're not broke. They don't have any financial problems. They're just lowering payroll because there's not revenue in the team. Because people aren't coming to Citi Field. Dude, you got a new stadium. I mean, they're so full of crap, their eyes are brown, Bri.
I know.
I've had it.
Listen, I am not going to sit here and defend them at all.
No, I know.
At all. I feel the exact same way. I'm outraged by the way they've handled everything.
That's outrageous.
I feel like, and I can't get on Sandy Alderson either. He's working with what he's been given. And he can't come right out and say what's going on. He can't be honest unless ownership is honest.
I agree.
Everybody's going to kill Sandy Alderson. Oh, you know, you're putting a minor league team out there and, you know, just be honest with us. He can't do anything unless his bosses do it first. That's what that's not how you operate in business. You
right.
don't undercut the boss. No matter what, you can't do it. And I am sure he would love to be able to set the record straight.
Yeah.
And you can hear it in his comments. He comes real close.
Okay.
You know, without actually coming out and saying it. He's a smart guy. He knows how to do that.
He has to. Everybody who he's coming down hard on Sandy. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. Let's see what the big brain trust does. They got enough GMs there. That's what Francesca said today.
Right. Oh, the Ivy League
big brain trust does.
You know, whatever.
They can't do anything. They're going to Ramon Hernandez.
But let me tell you something. I trust that this group will be able to do the best that they can. And I trust this group a whole hell of a lot more than any other group they've had in there.
Oh, of course. I trust that they'll do the best they can as well, but I just don't know what they can do other than sell off the team in its entirety and just get draft picks and build for 2015.
And maybe that's the plan. We don't know what the plan is.
Can't be the plan.
I don't know.
Can't be the plan. Well, look, he's going to sign with the Marlins. I got news for you. I think that's obvious. They offered Pujols 9 years, Cal?
Yeah.
9 years and $200 million, was it?
Mm-hmm. Kid, you know what?
Are they kidding? What's going on with the Marlins? Is this?
You know what really works? What's been proven in sports that really works is you just bring all kinds of superstar free agents onto one team.
Yeah.
And create what they call a dream team.
Right.
Works in every sport. Worked fantastically in basketball.
Worked really well for the Heat.
Working bang-up job in Philadelphia with the Eagles.
Excellent for the 3-6 Eagles. Yes.
Really looking good. So that's definitely the way to go. Just blow out all your money on a couple of big-name free agents.
Yep.
You know, displace incumbents and make them upset to have to play a different position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really works out well for morale and team chemistry.
Especially if you have a particular player who's been a clubhouse cancer his entire career.
Right.
Move him. Move him out of the position.
Why not upset him a little bit?
It's a good idea. It's good thinking.
So, you know, it's great, and it makes for great copy, and the writers love it because, they've got stories, you know. They don't have to actually work because the stories are being written for them.
Yep.
You know? But guess what? From a baseball standpoint, maybe not such a great idea.
It's just, you can't kill them for wanting to sign Albert Pujols.
No, of course not.
But to sign Pujols and Reyes on a 72-win team,
Pujols and Reyes and Burley and Madsen, I mean, come on.
They won 72 games last year. Okay? They didn't win 85 games. They won 72 games. The Mets won 76 or 77. Okay, so Jose Reyes would be going to a worse team. Are they going to – does Albert Pujols and Jose Reyes equal 18 wins?
Jose Reyes might not equal 18 games.
This is all I'm saying. You know, this idea that he can't get away from the Mets fast enough to go to a winner. Guys? Marlins won 72 games last year. Yeah, I really thought the Pujols thing was entirely window dressing because they were unveiling their new logo or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Cal, they made him a legit offer. They made him a legitimate offer. 9 years and $200 million is a legitimate offer.
That is a legitimate offer.
Well, it's like I said the other day. The nice thing is if the Marlins sign Reyes, we'll be able to sign him back in 2 years. When they fire sale after they win a World Series. And then we'll have Reyes, and the Mets will be out of financial peril, and hopefully the Wolfpons have been forced to sell the team. And we'll have them back.
I don't think they're going anywhere, Steve.
One last thing on the baseball, we were talking about this today. Baseball is thinking about scrapping the divisions or whatever, like the three divisions, and going to just two divisions of 15 teams in each league. And five playoff teams? So three, what? So that's one division winner and four wild cards,
right.
See, I thought it was two teams would get a bye? Is somebody getting a bye in this equation?
The division winners would be getting a bye.
And then you'd have a wild card round.
Yeah, but that still doesn't work out because you'd have an odd number of teams.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a bye.
Well, then how do five teams play each other then?
I think that the last two teams are a play-in situation.
I think we might have been given some bad information.
I wonder who would do that.
I think we might be. I'm going to.
Doctor Erase Test is unavailable.
Well, how can
who would do something like that?
I'm going to have to do a little due diligence here and see exactly what's being proposed, because if it's two leagues of 15 teams, all right, can we start there?
Sure.
Can we start there before we even contemplate potential playoff teams? Two leagues of 15 teams?
Mm-hmm. Apparently it's 1957.
What have they – have they combined – like the ACC and the Pac-10, or just let's put a super conference together of 15 teams.
I mean, look, they did divisions right back when baseball expanded. They expanded the divisions because of travel, right? And then you had geographic matchups,
right?
Excuse me. So you did, divisions based on geographic rivalries, stuff like that. I guess they're saying that's gone.
I guess.
I think the whole thing's poppycock. Hogwash and poppycock.
Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
And as you said today, you're just dreading reading and the Mets slipped to 13th in the division today with another loss to the Marlins and Jose Reyes.
Did you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
Now, Jose Reyes homers twice to the Marlins as the fifth-place playoff-bound Marlins defeat the 14th-place New York Mets.
I'm all for adding another playoff team, though.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I am. You know, I saw a stat the other day, Bri, that I – and again, this sort of feeds into this idea of the two 15-team divisions or whatever. You know, 22 different teams have made the playoffs since 2005 in baseball.
Really?
Yeah. 22 different teams have made the playoffs.
That's crazy.
In baseball since 2005. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's, yeah.
Considering that, you know, everybody's crying about the haves and the have-nots and the revenue sharing, and the Yankees have made the playoffs every one of those years except one. And the Red Sox have every one of those years except one, et cetera. But there have been 22 different teams in the playoffs. Can you name them? Go.
No. Okay. Well, how about this? Can you name the eight that weren't?
I can name two. The Pirates and the Royals.
Pirates and the Royals have not made the playoffs.
The Orioles.
The Orioles have not.
The...
That's tough.
Nationals.
The Nationals have not.
That's four.
The Mariners.
The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays.
Have not. The Mariners have. Remember, the Mariners won like 100 million games.
Yeah, not in 2005.
What year?
That was 99.
Oh. I lost a decade.
I don't think the Mariners have made the playoffs.
You think it's the Mariners, huh? Oh, the A's?
I think the A's. The Moneyball A's would have made the playoffs.
Not since 2005?
The Moneyball A's were the 2004 A's.
I don't think they've made the playoffs. This counts the 2005 season. I don't think they have, Brian.
I feel like they have.
You feel like they're a wild card in there? Or did they win the West?
They must have won the West. I don't think they wouldn't have been a wild card.
I think we got a bunch of them. Boy, if only we had
this is compelling, isn't it?
This is fantastic radio. If only we had a guy, Bri, you know, somebody who worked with the show who was like, his whole job was just to punch up this kind of stuff, you know, to get us like stats and information.
Doctor Erase Test is unavailable.
Oh. No, there you go, Bri.
Man.
Kel.
Man.
Yes?
Kel, the computer's talking to you again.
Bishopbot 5000.
Bishopbot 5000 wants to have a word with you. Maybe Bishopbot 5000 can tell us who we're sponsored by. I wonder if Bishopbot 5000 still has that.
Ready to Unload is Ready to Unload is sponsored by the Mets, the Jets, and the Mafia.
Oh, that's right. We are sponsored by the Mafia. So the Mafia, Ready to Unload, brought to you by the Mafia. The Mafia, Mingy my nudge. I've been waiting all week to read that copy. Bri, you want to talk? Can we talk football for a couple minutes? Can we get away from the baseball, please?
Sure.
Because it's all hurting my head.
I guess.
Okay, the Giants, the New York football Giants. The Jets, I can't even talk about. They play the Tebows tomorrow night.
Damn, they got a big game tomorrow night. If they lose this game, every game's a big game with this team, Brian.
A terrible loss to the Patriots.
Yep.
As bad a loss as they've had since the last time they got blown out by the Patriots last year.
Right.
Now, that day will live in infamy for me.
Because I know.
The day my son was born. So,
then this is only this would have only been the second worst loss in your son's life.
That's correct.
On Sunday night.
He got the worst loss out of the way early.
That's a, you know?
On his first day in the world. He got the
can't, yeah, it can't be much worse than that.
Look, it was a terrible loss. It was something that you and I, it's near and dear to our heart, Brian Schottenheimer, and my brother had, I think Scott had the great line, which was, the only thing that stopped the run on Sunday night was Brian Schottenheimer.
My gosh.
It sure as hell wasn't the Patriots. I mean, just, you know, he continues to baffle you with his
Yep. He's backwards. We talked about this, you know, earlier in the week.
Yep.
In the first game against the Patriots, everybody said the way to beat the Patriots is to throw the ball. So he decided, I'm going to put a game plan. Well, no, I have it backwards. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Everybody was killing the Jets for not having the ground and pound identity. You know, you had ground and pound, ground and pound. I mean, I swear – Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth got some sort of royalties for using that phrase on Sunday night.
Yep.
Ground and pound. Ground and pound. But going back to the first Patriots game, Schottenheimer forced a running plan, a running game plan into the game when he clearly should have been throwing. He should have opened it up more.
Yep.
But he decided, well, we have to establish this identity, and we're going to do it this week. This is the week we're going to do it. This is when we're going to do it.
Yep.
And it failed. So now, cut to Sunday, and once again, he decides that the Patriots, that's their weakness, is throwing the ball. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to throw the ball. And about halfway through the first half, it's painfully obvious that the Jets' offensive line can't stop the Patriots' pass rush. They can't protect Sanchez.
Four-man pass rush. It's not like they were blitzing and bringing corners and safeties and the kitchen sink. It was a four-man pass rush, which is one of the reasons they were dropping seven guys in coverage. Sanchez couldn't find anybody open. And we're not talking about coverage sacks either.
No.
We're talking about Andre Carter beating DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Wayne Hunter like a drum to the tune of 4.5 sacks.
How do you not make an – if you are an NFL coach – right, you're a coach. You are hired with the sole purpose of coaching an NFL team. That's all you do. That's your life. Right?
And then some.
And then some. And all you do, all you ever do is analyze, right? Is study film, break down what the opponent is doing. That's all you ever do. That's your only responsibility.
You don't see your kids. You don't cook meals. You don't do anything.
You don't swim.
You don't take a job. Maybe
there's no recreation.
You're not going to the movies.
Nothing.
You haven't seen a movie since who knows? Maybe Rocky IV.
No.
Rocky IV. Rocky. Rocky Five.
Listen, so I'm kind of making light of it, but it really baffles me, and there's no explanation for it. I know you don't have an explanation for it. Jet fans, just how they are just unable to make adjustments in the game.
He never does. He never takes what the defense is giving him.
Ever. Right.
And he had some great game plans. He had a really great game plan against Buffalo, and it worked. So you didn't have to change anything.
Well, Steve, let me ask you a question, though, with him. Is it his ego getting in the way?
Is he stubborn and he's so arrogant to think that this is my plan and it's going to work and we're going to force it some hell or high water? Or is he just not able – he just doesn't recognize the adjustments that he needs to make? Which one is it?
You know what? I used to think it was the obstinance. I really did. I used to think it was the ego and saying, look, the game plan is there. The system is there. If you execute it properly, it will work no matter what defense they're throwing at it. I used to think that. Now, I'm not sure he's capable of making in-game adjustments. I mean, I think some coaches just aren't. And I'm really not sure he's capable of making in-game adjustments and taking advantage of what the defense is showing him that day.
Right.
Or if he is making adjustments, he's not good at it. You know, he's not good at operating on the fly. Which,
well, we don't see the adjustments.
Yeah, I just don't see them. But you know what? This comes down to something as simple as we all could see they should be running the ball more. They were getting 5 yards a clip. They could have run for 200 yards in that game. Okay, so it was really that simple. And then, you know, you have like the first drive of the second half where you come out and throw three passes and go 3-and-out.
That was crazy.
You know, I think it's maybe equal parts obstinance and, you know, or ego-driven obstinance, and he's not good at making in-game adjustments. Either way, this team finds itself at 5-4 with a huge game 4 days later, you know, basically 92 hours later, on the road in Denver, which is a ridiculously difficult place to play, against the option. You know, and the basically a college offense that Tim Tebow is running with some great success. Tim Tebow, a complete lightning rod, and we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and I think they should start going easy on the guy. Of course, you saw what they did with Revis's comments, right, Cal?
Oh, that. Yes, absolutely.
Now, did you see his actual comments?
No, I didn't, because I only saw it in the context that they were presented.
Right, that he was going to fall asleep.
Right.
When what he said was, and I saw the interview,
mm-hmm.
What he said was, you can't fall asleep on him. You got to, you know, they run the ball so much, we have to do a good job. He was joking around, first of all.
Right.
About they run the ball so much, we got to make sure we stay awake, you know, because there's not a lot for corners to do when they run the ball a lot. That's not super arrogant. And then the other thing he said is, but, you know, look, he completed a 59-yard touch or whatever it was, 53-yard touchdown pass. You can't fall asleep on him. You can't fall asleep on that aspect that he can throw the ball. So we got to do our best to stay awake.
Right.
And it turned into Darrell Revis says Tim Tebow stinks. Now, he did say he doesn't think the option can work in the NFL.
Or he said it could work with certain quarterbacks.
There were two people. Well, he said Mike Vick and Chris Johnson in the same backfield.
Right.
Because they're the two fastest guys in the NFL. So that's
not
the only way it's going to work.
It's not an insult.
It wasn't as remotely as insulting as everybody. But you know what? Good, Cal. Let's have it this week. Let's have it with the controversy. Good. They play better when they're considered to be jerks.
Yeah, they seem to.
So, you know, enough. I don't even want to talk about this game tomorrow night. I'm so frightened of it. I don't like it.
Okay.
I can see them somehow losing this game.
Will you watch it?
Now, Brian. Do I even have to dignify that with an answer?
Well, you won't watch the post-game show.
Why wouldn't I watch the post-game show?
It's on SNY.
I'm not banning SNY.
But it's owned by the Wilpons.
Only like 60%.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize there was like a sliding scale. That you followed in your convictions.
It's not necessarily a sliding scale. They also do a great job with SNY.
They do a great job.
Okay.
Although that Ray Lucas is a little much sometimes.
He's a little tough to take with the Jet post game. But hey, look, if they were putting a Met product on the field that was as good as what's on SNY, I'd go to the ball game.
All right.
So there you go. You're not going to keep me from watching the post game.
All right, so you want to move on from the Jets?
I just wanted to talk about the Giants. Nice.
Let's talk about the Giants. I didn't mean to get you upset.
Well, this is a huge game for the Giants. Very big game. And I feel like this team has had the second half swoon the last, what, 3 years?
I mean, all of Coughlin's tenure, they've had a second half swoon.
Except the Super Bowl.
Well, even that year wasn't I mean, they didn't really play well down the stretch. They only turned it on in that last game of the season.
Right, against the Patriots, which
right.
they lost. Which they lost.
Which they lost, but they gave them, I mean, they
right.
gave them a lot.
They gave them a lot of juice. They lost last week to the Niners after their big emotional win over the Patriots, which, by the way, everybody knew was going to happen. Everybody knew it was going to you just so knew the Giants were going to lose that game.
I didn't know that.
Oh, really? Oh, that
I
seemed like a no-brainer.
No, they were in that game right to the end.
Oh, no. I didn't. I mean, I thought they had a chance to get blown out, but I knew they were losing that game. It just had a classic kind of fly across the country. You just beat the Patriots, and you're feeling all great about yourself. And the Niners are playing extraordinarily well. And no Ahmad Bradshaw. No, you know. I just saw that as a very losable game for them. So I wasn't surprised they lost.
Well, let me. I guess the big question continues to be: is Eli Manning elite?
I think he is. I think he's second or third for the MVP voting right now.
Can I ask you, though, why that seems to be such a huge deal for people?
Because of what he said. Because of the interview before the season. When he was asked if he was in the same class as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, his brother, he said yes. He viewed himself as an elite quarterback.
So now every
game, article. That's right.
Every article has to be now.
That's right.
Has to go back to that, and you know
he's, what's great is that his name is Eli, which if you didn't know, that's contained in the word elite. So that, again.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Every article has to be used in.
I don't, yeah. Oh, I see. I see what they've done.
You got it now?
Right, because you can't spell elite without Eli.
That's right. Do you smell smoke?
Now I get it.
Right. Good one. Clever.
Good one, guys. Good one.
Oh, they're funny. Great hustle, everybody.
That's a good one.
Good job out there.
Even you, those on the floor.
Really.
Really tight.
Top notch. Good job, Vecchiano. Put those pom-poms down.
Oh, boy.
Did you see his article today?
No.
Ralphie pom-poms? About how Coughlin is doing the coaching job of his life and he deserves an extension.
Oh, God. His byline, he should be wearing a helmet, like a giant helmet.
No, but like the kid giant helmet.
Like, yeah, really oversized.
Right, like the kid, like the Hutch one.
Oh, the plastic one,
right,
yeah.
With the white plastic face mask.
That you can buy the uniform in the box.
That's right. Like the Butch Wolfork, you know, from back then. Scott, he should have a Scott Bruner jersey on. Ralphie Pom Poms. Oh, man. I mean, take it easy, guy. Take it easy.
It's great. It's so funny how, well, this is.
I know.
It's for another night.
It's true, though. It's true. What you're about to say is absolutely true.
It's the yin and the yang of New York sports.
Yeah. You have beat writers covering the Jets who absolutely despise the team.
Despise them. They do. It's really, I mean,
Samini writes articles where you have to wonder, why would you choose to continue to cover a team you dislike that much?
Maybe, well, here, that brings up a very good question. Maybe he doesn't choose to cover this team. Maybe he's just not good enough to cover another team.
Oh.
And they're not going to, they won't
you
put
think?
Him on a team.
I mean,
maybe that's,
I don't need,
maybe he's trapped. He's, you know.
That's right.
Those guys at ESPN are, you know, Adam Rubin, Rich Samini, they're trapped in their beats.
Right.
And they can't get out, so they're just going to lash out and snark their way through every column, you know?
The great thing is Samini's been covering the Jets for like 22 years.
I know. I know.
I can't even, I don't even read the articles, bro. I just look at the little blurb headlines on ESPN New York. And just him and Ian O'Connor, and I laugh my ass off. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna read this article if I'm a Jet fan,
right? And well, just look at the tweets.
Pretty boy Sanchez doesn't get it. That's the headline of the article.
Is Santonio Holmes angry?
Wow. Jets prove once again they're not ready for prime time and suck a lot, too.
Darrell No Doze Revis is probable for the game on Thursday. Get it? Do you see what he did there?
I do.
No Doze.
Wake me when it gets clever.
Hey, let's talk about the Giants real quick, though. Going back to them.
Well, this is a huge game because they play the Eagles, the 3-6 Eagles, who are who are suspending guys for missing meetings, and DeSean Jackson is benched and doesn't even dress, and Mike Vick has broken ribs, and they are a disaster.
Do you think it's going to cost Andy Reid his job?
I don't know. But if they lose this week, their season's over.
Their season is pretty much on life support as it is.
It's on the brink, no doubt. But if they lose to the Giants, that's why the Giants can actually nail in the coffin.
Well, if you look at retribution, because this is a game of redemption. See if you know this is a game of redemption.
Wow.
That's how grand I'm making this.
Brian Cliche Calvi, everybody.
The Giants
are they going to take them one game at a time, Brian? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, the good Lord willing, they're going to go out there on Sunday night and
just try to help the team in any way they can.
All 53 men are going to contribute to this game.
Write it down. That's awful. I know. Write it down.
They have a chance to do to the Eagles what the Eagles did to them last year.
That's right. Now, what do you think about this game, though? I mean, obviously the Eagles playing in desperation. Vic might play. The Giants, could they? They have the ridiculous second half schedule where they still have Dallas twice. They have Green Bay. They have the Jets. They have a ridiculously difficult second half schedule. This team is 6-3 right now. Dallas is suddenly 5-4.
And playing well.
Right in their rearview mirror. And they play Dallas twice. The Giants have to have this game. Because you if you're the Giants, not even to put the nail in the coffin of the Eagles, yeah, great. But also to not say, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Now it's two straight losses. Now all of a sudden we're 6-4 and maybe tied with Dallas, who I think plays St. Mary's Home for the Blind this week. So,
right.
You know,
and their best player suspended.
Right, that's right. All of a sudden, you're 6-4 in a tie for first place with Dallas, having lost two in a row, and you're like, "What just happened?"
Right, and then it becomes mental. It's starting to creep in again.
And no Ahmad Bradshaw again this week. So that's very big.
It's big, but I think Jacobs has been playing well, and DJ Ware has been providing a nice change of pace for them too.
No, absolutely. They have done a good job filling in instead. But that's still big. You'd like to have Ahmad Bradshaw in this game.
And what about the story this week, just changing topics a little bit? You know, Victor Cruz in the Knights the other night?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, Coughlin came out and said Victor Cruz was, what, in a nightclub for his birthday, like a supper club, and there was a shooting and a murder there or something like that? And
yeah, somebody was shot and killed in the club.
Right.
They heard the shots, and they got down on the ground.
Right, a couple of the players. I think it was him and Canty.
Was there.
And Coughlin came out and said, I'm sorry, I have to laugh. It's a terrible situation, but I had to laugh at Coughlin because he is like 65 or whatever he is. You know, coming out and saying, I never understood what, you know, I turned into a parent at this point. I never understood what you're doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning anyway. Really, Tom? Really? Really?
I said nothing good happens at 3 in the morning.
Right. Well, I can tell you what he's doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning, Tom. He's having a good time. He's 24 years old, and he's a millionaire. You know, is it right? I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but really? Really, Tom? You can't remember ever being out at 24 years old?
I truly believe Tom Coughlin was never out at 24.
Yeah, that's right. He was looking at film. I'm not going out again tonight. I think I'm going to do a heck of a job looking at a lot of film. He really is an angry little leprechaun, isn't he?
Okay. He's a curmudgeon, but he's lovable at this point.
If you're a Giants fan, forget about it.
I think he's. Remember when they had him up on his shoulders in New England last week? he was like a puppet. He was like an old man, like...
Sesame Street character just bobbing around on top of their shoulders.
Look, he's a – I think he's actually an underrated coach. I think he's
a good, great, yeah, he's a good coach.
He's a tremendous – I think he's a tremendous coach. He's a very good coach. I don't think he gets the credit that maybe he deserves for being such a good coach.
It's funny. I was
but the guy's a goof. I mean, I'm sorry. If he's not the coach of your team, you're like, really? Tom Coughlin?
Well, it was funny.
Why is my angry great uncle your coach?
I was I had the Giant game on in the other room on Sunday, and I had stepped out of the room. We were getting the kids ready for school the next day.
Wow.
It was late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and
sure.
Then you listen to the game from another room. That's how you watch when you're a parent. That's how you watch a game on Sunday at 4.
Right. You become that 7-hour process.
Right. You pretty much put the TV on in the rooms that you have a TV. And then you just kind of work your way through the house and you kind of pick up stuff.
Right.
So I'm in another room and my wife, Allison, is watching the game. And all of a sudden she says, "Oh, well, that man's not happy." And I knew right away it was
right.
Coughlin. I didn't know what had happened.
Right.
But it was just so funny for someone who doesn't watch it to see him pop up on the screen and start turning all shades of purple.
Right.
You know?
He was dead.
He wasn't happy.
Can I just, speaking of not happy, I'm so glad that Mark Sanchez addressed this idea that Rex Ryan saying that it was the stupidest play in the history of the NFL or whatever was somehow going to upset poor Mark Sanchez.
Mm.
Like, I wish Mark Sanchez's answer to this would have been, and it sort of was, if you read between the lines. But I wish it, the question is posed, hey, Mark, did you hear that, does that bother you that he said it's the stupidest play in the history of the NFL or something like that? And his answer was, no, dumbass, because it's exaggerating. Because if you think about it, I don't for a second think that Rex Ryan thought that in the 110-year history of the National Football League, that me leaving 17 seconds on the play clock was the dumbest play in the history of the league. Because that's exaggeration, because he was emotional in the moment. And I'm smart enough. I may not have a degree from USC, but I am intelligent enough to understand hyperbole when it happens.
That was only the second best press conference moment of the week.
Right.
Because what was the best one?
The best one was Rex commenting on what Bill Belichick said to his son, which was caught on camera, but Bill Belichick thought he was saying it in privacy, and it's fine for him. Making a comment about the Jets' defense and putting up 37 points on them, and then he had an expletive about suck my Jimmy Zagam. And they asked Rex how he felt about that, and Rex said, that's funny, I said the same thing to my son after we beat him last year in the playoffs about the number one offense. And this reporter was like, really? You said that? Really? totally took him seriously. And Rex stood there at the podium in utter disbelief, like looking around, like, is this a joke? Like, this guy's serious? And just said to him, my son wasn't at the game last year. Like, Rex Ryan's son is like 16. Every reporter in the room laughed that he actually had to set this guy straight.
Right.
But they'll do that. I don't know. What, do you like the Giants in this game?
I do. I really do. I think they're better than the Eagles. Clearly better than the Eagles. Vic might not even play. I really think they're going to have a little extra juice on a Sunday night at home.
All right.
Like you said, they need this game badly. But I really think there's a little extra something based on what happened last year.
I like the Eagles in this game.
Okay.
I do. I just do. I just have a feeling.
You go with the desperate team, right?
I go with the desperate team, and I go with the team that maybe starts playing for Andy Reid's job.
I don't get that impression with this team at all.
You don't think?
No, not at all.
All right. Okay. Maybe I'm misreading.
That's my opinion. What do I know?
Maybe I'm misreading. But, you're starting to hear whispers that this is somehow his fault. And I think those, I think those players like Andy Reid. I do. I do.
I don't know. Well, like, you know, like they say, it's
Deshaun Jackson might not, but I think, you know, Mike Vick knows that he gave him a second chance, and, you know.
What do you think of that, benching Deshaun Jackson for missing a meeting?
Hey, you know, you can't lose control of the team, right?
It's the right thing to do.
Right. You can't lose control of the team. He misses a meeting. He says he overslept or whatever. He said earlier in the week that he's been distracted by the fact he didn't get a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that he didn't get the money, and he'd be lying if he said it wasn't a distraction. And then he misses a meeting, he sleeps through it or whatever. Sit down. Take a seat. We'll get somebody in there that is not distracted. Didn't work out well for them.
No, it didn't. I mean, they really – you could argue that that was the difference in the game.
You could. Yeah, you could. May have cost them the game. They fumbled a punt, didn't they?
They did.
Steve Smith fumble a punt?
He did.
Speaking of which, Steve Smith, good pickup, by the way. In your leagues. In your fantasy leagues.
Oh, who picked up Steve Smith in our league?
Oh, I don't know. Who would do that?
Time for a fun.
We got to get the levels correct here.
We're really doing a fun load?
We're going to do an 8-minute fun load. Bring PJ back in and do a little 8-minute fun load. What do you think?
Sure, why not?
Otherwise, we could spend the last 10 minutes talking about Jose Reyes. I have no problem with that.
No, I'm sure there'll be 10 minutes next week.
Let's bring him back in for his big segment. It's all about him. It's all about the Bishop, pop culture, PJ, our producer at large. Let's get all radio-y.
I got my flannel on.
All right, PJ, welcome to the fun load that you helped invent. What were you listening to in 1993? Go.
I was listening to my roommate and his bong.
Wow.
I feel like I was there for a second.
Yep. And I felt like I was there for a second.
Wow.
Oh, boy. There it is.
Cool. So what does the blog talk about? There it is.
All right.
Ready to Unload has been brought to you by Clorox 2.
And the Mafia. Think you're my nudge. It's the Mafia. There's a horse head in your bed. It's the Mafia.
I don't understand the jokes on this show. I don't.
You know, I don't care for that kind of humor.
I don't like that kind of humor, and I think it promotes a bad view of the da-da-da's with the dee-dee-dee.
A monkey. He introduces the act.
The great Mary Gross. Looking as flustered as she has ever looked.
Is that a top five? That's always been a top five sketch for me.
Of that cast?
Of the eight?
Wow.
I think we have a future fun load.
that's 10 shows right there talking about the best SNLs.
Yeah, I know. You have to do it by year.
Yeah.
You've got Crystal playing Sammy Davis Jr., Christopher Guest playing that bizarre character.
Oh, the synchronized swimmers.
Get to sync. Well, that's a whole nother, please. That's a whole nother ball. No, you're not angry at him. You're just pointing at him.
Hey, you. I know you. I know you.
Special stuff.
I don't swim.
It wasn't always so much live that year, but boy, it was good.
They did a lot of videotape stuff. Yep.
That was 1 year, too, wasn't it? Wasn't that like just 84?
That was 80, I think it was 85, Bri, and that was the Dream Team. That was the Dream Team season. They couldn't.
Right.
Speaking of Dream Teams, they could not keep that cast together for more than 1 year.
And it was 85.
I'll give you that cast right now.
Well, Eddie Murphy was gone.
Yeah, no, it was a 1 year cast that, and that wasn't Lorne.
No, that was Ebersole.
It was Ebersole.
That was Ebersole. Yep. And that was a 1 year cast where he had Crystal. Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, Jim Belushi, Rich
Shearer
Hall.
Shearer left early. Shearer was gone by Christmas, though.
He did the first 10 episodes.
Yeah, he was, but then he got really frustrated with the writing.
Right. Well, Shearer was a writer on there before.
Right.
Rich Hall.
Brilliant.
Pamela Stevenson. She's not part of the all-star aspect of it, but she was one of the females. Mary
Hilton. She was a competent performer, and she was Aussie also. Right?
She was Australian, yes, which nobody knows. Was Kazurinsky on that one? Kazurinsky was, I believe. Yep, he was. You know what I'm doing right now, Cal? I'm playing the opening in my head because I'm doing it so well. Dana Carvey was there, I think, at that point, right? Not there yet. She wasn't there yet? Miller?
If Kazurinsky was there, he was held over from the year before then.
Rich Hall is definitely there. Guest did the news. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Guest did Weekend Update. You know what I remember about the opening, guys? The hot dog.
Yep.
That gets started by Belushi, and Pamela Stevenson is supposed to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And she drops it in the opening credits. So you had Pardo doing Jim Belushi, Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, Martin Short. that's a good Pardo. Thank you. Martin Short, yeah. Harry Shearer, well, yeah. That's just an unbelievable cast. Unbelievable cast. And there are – was Joan Cusack on that year? Nope.
No.
So then this was 84.
That was 84. 85 was the year they tried more actors.
Yep. Robert Downey Jr.
The sketches fell apart a little bit.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus was still there.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the 84 cast, right?
Yes. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. What do you got? Let's go. Give me the rundown. You got Belushi.
Yep.
Crystal.
Yep.
Christopher Guest.
Yep.
Mary Gross. Can you give me the rundown as Francesa, please? Or okay. Russo, or Russo, your choice.
This is a good Rich Hall.
Who's that?
Gary Kroger.
Gary Kroger, good.
Was on the,
oh,
was on the
Gary
team.
Kroger.
Underrated.
Very good straight man.
Underrated.
Very good.
You know who was enormous that year? Martin Short. We're talking Mantle 61.
Phenomenal numbers.
Just
outrageous.
Just huge.
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 So, Rich Hall.
Good cast, Maggie. That's some cast.
Pam Stevenson, yes.
That was unbelievable.
That's who was there in 84. Piscopo was there in 84.
Mm-hmm.
Piscopo was on there? Really? He's got to be on his way out though, right?
He made it to 85.
You know what's funny? I don't remember Piscopo in a single sketch that season.
Robin Duke,
yes,
was there.
Very under talented.
Stop
that.
Stop it now. Stop it.
That was that's right.
Mr.
And then
Mr. It, and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary mix. Come on, that's Robin Duke.
Yeah, it's true. And then in 85, they revamped with everybody.
Right.
Holy cow, we're almost out of time, fellas.
Nah, we're going over.
We can't, is the thing.
Well, we can. We can. It just won't be on the air.
Wow. We have 90 seconds left in the show.
Well, go seven. Over. It'll stay. It'll be on iTunes, won't it?
I don't think it does.
No.
Well, maybe it does. I don't think you can do it. He introduces the axe.
I think it records. I think it records, but it's not going to broadcast. You're going to have to check us out on Overtime.
All right, send all your questions to Overtime at
rtu.com.
Well, I'm glad you guys brought me in.
This is the show. This is what we should do. Hmm. There you go. There's your show. We just talk about old SNL sketches. There's a show. How about Peter Aykroyd in 1980?
Wow.
Sure.
Bottom of the barrel. All right, PJ, final unload, quick.
Too slow. Chocolate babies.
Too slow. Calvin, final unload. Islanders, black jerseys. I hate them. And my final unload is goodbye, Mets. I'll miss seeing you live. That's all the time we have on Ready to Unload. Thanks very much for joining us. And tune in next week when we'll be back on Thanksgiving week. What are we going to do? Tuesday night, Cal?
Tuesday or Wednesday?
All right, we'll do Tuesday or Wednesday night. Join us then. In the meantime, for our producer, PJ Cacioppo, for Brian Calvi, I'm Steve Sampietro. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and good night, everybody. So long. He introduces the axe, Brian. A monkey.
Sweet sketch.
Like, kind of a long staff thing.
Ooh. This is Chocolate Baby.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.